love very much. She has a little ranch up in Quesnel, Stephen. You know who I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, she attended his church after she left Victoria area. She was part of my church. And she's a really godly woman. And she calls me up and she says, Ike, I need help. I says, what's going on? She says, well, she's in a Pentecostal church now. And she says, our pastor's taking a month off, month leave, and they've asked several people to preach, and I'm one of them. I go, praise the Lord, that's good. She says, yeah, but I need help. I says, okay, what's the help you need? She says, well, they've given me a topic to preach on. I said, well, what's the topic? And she said, it's the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. And she says, well, I'm so much doing Jesus stuff. I'm not too much in the Ten Commandments. I said, which commandment are they talking about? She says, number 6, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And I said, honey, this is really easy. She said, it is? I said, well, of course. Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law. So we've got to remember that we can't do all this law stuff. So I thought, how am I going to explain this to people? I knew you'd laugh on this. My background is law enforcement. My education is law enforcement. I have written lots of tickets who violated that because it is what?
The law.
The law. Right. And so when you violate that, that's the law. Well, God saw to it and found out that we can't keep his laws. It's almost impossible because it's so difficult. So he sent his son Jesus and he said, well, I'm going to send you a helper. Guess what? What is this sign for? It's an advisory. And if you go by the advice, what happens? That's right, you'll be safe. It is not the law. It is an advisory. And that's why God sent Jesus, so he can help you to obey that. That doesn't do away with that, but this helps you to get where you're going, and that still wasn't enough for God. He wanted more. Because Jesus said, if I don't go, you're not going to get what God has for you, which is the Holy Spirit, right? And so that's why he sent us the Holy Spirit. I think I have I got my tablet here. Hope you don't mind if I use the floor for preaching today. It's my all-time favorite, okay? Okay, so you need to bear with me today because, I am not a theologian. I don't know if you know this or not, but I never passed grade 8. As a matter of fact, I barely got part of it through grade 7. And my dad bought a bit of a farm. He says, I need your help. Get out of school. So he pulled me out of school. So I was going to school, and then when I turned 16, the day I turned 16, Maddie, this is my granddaughter, Maddie, and her boyfriend, Sawyer. So, I hate to tell you this, but she's the cutest one in the church, okay? There's a couple sitting right here. They were here about 3 weeks ago. And I was in my Blue Knights uniform. And I always sit over there. And when you left church, what was it that you said to your husband about?
I said, I'm sure that's Ike.
So you know what he did? He went on the internet, looked up Blue Knights, and sure enough, he found, like, last week I walked up and they said, "Hi, how are you guys doing?" And he says to me, "Ike, we know each other." I said, "We do? How come we know each other?"
"You married us 34 years ago."
Welcome to Highway Christian Fellowship. So I was a kid, 16 years old. My father worked for a dairy. My brother worked for the dairy, and my brother-in-law. And guess who worked next? I got a milk route. 16 years old. Can you imagine, Maddie? Me, you being 16, you going to get 4 o'clock in the morning. We had to get up and go to the dairy and get the horse and wagon out. But the horse was already saddled up, all ready to go, and I just pull up with my wagon. But I had been listening. For some reason or other, I liked Oral Roberts. And I used to listen to him on Sundays, Oral Roberts. Can you crank me up a little bit? I can't hear down here. And so Oral Roberts was, you know, he was a preacher of a whole different color, and I'd never seen preaching like that in my life. But anyway, one day, my horse and wagon were traveling to my first call. It takes about 15 minutes. Must have been wintertime. The doors are closed in my wagon. But I'm always a pretty happy guy, okay? And I like singing. And I was in my wagon and I was singing. And I'm sure I was singing a hymn of some kind. And all of a sudden, I started to sing in a language that I had never heard before. I was clueless. And here I was singing. And so several times, you know, going from there, and I did talk to my dad about this, and he says, no, he says, "You're not going there." One day I stopped with the horse and wagon, and it was a bakery. And I thought, bakery, that'd be a good place for me to get a new customer because they use lots of milk in baking, right? And this guy started to witness to me, told me about Holy Spirit stuff that was so beyond anything I can imagine. And, oh, I was so excited. And I went home and told my dad, "Oh, man, you should hear what this guy's telling me." "Oh, yeah, great response. Don't you ever go to that bakery again." Being a good Dutch boy, I do what my parents told me. My life goes on, you know, and I got married and, I joined the police department. I got all my education after I left school. I was peddling milk, and I thought, is this what I want to do the rest of my life? So I got government correspondence. I got some help from the teacher that my younger brother and sister went to, and it was Christian High School. And this guy was helping me all the time, and especially with math and algebra and whatnot. And I worked through all this stuff, and there was two guys used to come to this bowling alley where I brought milk, and then we got chatting, and then he found out my dad was a cop in the old country, and so he says, "We have an opening in the police department. Would you like to apply?" I said, "Well, I don't have a high school certificate." He says, "We have a way to find out, you can do an equivalency test." So I applied. I passed the equivalency test for grade 13, would you believe? That's first year university in Ontario. And, so I got chosen to go before the police commission. There was over 100 applicants. And 10 of us got chosen, and two other guys got the job. And then 2 years later, in the meantime, I got married, and 2 years later, I applied again because they called me and they asked me, "Come apply. We got an opening," and I got the job in 1963, and I became a policeman. And so it was all my God was always working in my life. You see, I think my parents became praying people during the Second World War. I was born just prior to the war. And my parents prayed about everything. So the custom for Christian Reformed is you pray before the meal, you read the scripture after the meal, and then you pray after the meal. So scripture and prayer was part of my life. I can't remember being a kid that I did anything without asking God to help me. Ever since I was 5 or 6 years old, I remember doing that. So now I'm living in Victoria. We moved to Victoria. My former late wife desperately wanted out. I left a good job. I had very good relationship in the department. I had the only trained police dog in Western Ontario. And so, you know, newspaper items all the time. So every time that happened, people call me, can you train my dog? So I trained over 100 dogs. We came to BC, and I was going to join Sandy's Police Department, and I decided not to. And I bought a business in Langford called Ike's Bikes. I changed it to Ike's Bikes, and it had major appliance business. But things were happening. Not good things. My business wasn't doing well, and my marriage was falling apart. But I knew that somehow God has the answer. So I went on a search, a major search. And my wife called the pastor of the church and said, "You better have a little talk with Ike. He's going off his stick." Well, I did. I was adamant about finding what was my problem, because I took it upon myself. It was my problem. And so I heard about an organization or a meeting on Friday nights. And the organization is called Light of the World Christian Community. Well, that alone tells you a little bit of something what's going on. I went to the meeting. My wife and I. Nice people. First thing I know, they're doing worship, right? Well, I've never seen worship like that before. And there's all these people, and all of a sudden, they're all raising their hands and praising God. And you know, I'm just not accustomed to that. And I know the scripture. I don't know if you know the scripture for Romans 12. It says, "Be not conformed to the ways of this world." Can you imagine? That's how I identified that this was the way of the world. And I'm standing around like this, right? Oh, yeah. When we left there, I said to my wife, "Remind me never to go back there again." But how does God, you know, I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to talk with God. But he knows how to talk to me. And all of a sudden, I realized I've got to go back here again. First thing you know, next Friday night, we are back. And you won't believe this. It's at the Catholic Church on Nelthorpe. Now, I'm from the Netherlands, okay? And we are separated. The town we lived in is the Catholics in the north and the Protestants in the south, and may the two never meet. And I'll tell you, that's the way it was. And you know, we stayed away from Catholicism just as far as we could, because they're all going to hell and we didn't want any part of it. That's the attitude that was around Europe. I'm back at the Catholic Church. That was a major part for me to overcome, just to go into the building. And so this guy gets up after worship to speak. Well, in my business, I advertise on the radio. And we do commercials. And a band created a musical commercial for me. And I'm sitting in the studio, and the controller is just opposite me. And I'm looking at him. It's the same guy that was leading the group of the Light of the World Spirit community there. And right away, he and I connected, you know. And something happened. First thing you know, after the second week, I was signing up for the Life in the Spirit seminar. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that in the business community, I started the Langford Business Association, which is now the Chamber of Commerce in the Western community. But I was freshly out of the police department, and I saw a lot of accidents happen on the corner of Mill Stream and Gold Stream. Bad accidents. So I called up the municipality, well, they didn't have a CRD, And it's like, what do you mean, stoplight here? Oh, no, you don't need it, So I'm trying to put the pressure on, got a few. You know what I did is I formed the Langford Business Association. Now we had an organization. Now we went back and say, we want a stoplight there. First thing you know, they're working on it and getting us a stoplight. So the next thing that happened is we needed a new hospital. Now, you guys all know about that. And so people in the Western community said, no, don't build another hospital downtown. We need one that will serve the Western community and Sydney and all that. And so I got everybody together and we had a petition. And we had hundreds and hundreds of signatures on this petition. So one day I made an appointment with the Minister of Health and we go to his office. And I think one person went with me and I think it was Al van der Kerkhoff, you know, he's the guy from the gas that at that time had the low gas. And yeah, well, Al and I went together, and we presented a petition to the minister. And he said, you are the only people that have come to me to ask where the hospital should be. Everybody else is fighting it out on the media, on the TV, and there's lots of stuff going on the TV. Nobody came and asked to have the hospital where it is today on Helmerkin, and he said, you've got your hospital.
Big general.
Yeah. So, now I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and when that happened, you have no idea what happened to me. My life was changed so drastically that the whole community heard about it. So Jesus said, I think I have that scripture up there from Acts. Can you pop that up there, me? And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart. Okay, this is like what's the charge card? Not Visa. Don't leave home without it. That's really what Jesus is saying here. Don't leave home without it. He said, do not depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says all of you have heard of me. Go to the next verse. For John baptized with water, but all of you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days behind. So this is his promise. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father has put in his own power. I think I'm going on. But all of you shall receive. Okay. Why do we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This is it right here. For you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? And all of you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. In all my life, when I knew who Jesus was, I never had the guts to share this with anybody. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, everything changed. And I became a witness. And since I was a president of the Langford Business Association, we were having a meeting in the ballroom of the hotel there. And there's a ton of people there, mostly all business people. It was our annual meeting. And we had a speaker. And the speaker represented provincial government. And I'm going to tell you a topic. You're going to be so shocked. It was about the CNN railway. You've never heard of that before, have you? Can you imagine? How many years ago was that? This is 1976. They were talking about doing something with the railroad then. This never, ever happened yet. You know, when he was on that platform, he used God's name in vain several times. It was like a dart going through my heart. When he was done, I got up and went back to the podium. And I said, you people have elected me as your president. And as your president, from now on, if somebody speaks from this pulpit and uses God's name in vain, I will personally ask them to step down. Would you believe they clapped? They clapped. But the thing is, I could hear the murmuring in the community later, you know, I got religion. I didn't get religion. I got the Holy Spirit that moves, and if you let him move. And that's the whole idea, is that you let him move. Now maybe I can find out. I probably have some notes here on this, okay? So I got this touch from God, and I never knew how this could happen, but we have a song about this. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. You may be seated. So now at this meeting, there was a man there who was the architect for Langford. I didn't know who this guy was, but he went over to the chairman of the Full Gospel Businessman, and he said, "You better have a little chat with this Ike DeYoung guy in the Western Community, see what's going on with him." So Dr. Doug Roberts got a hold of me, and he called me up, and I didn't know who he was. Never heard a Full Gospel Businessman before. And he says, "Would you be able to come to the Empress Hotel? And we have a meeting there once a month. And just share what you just shared with me." Man, it took about 2 hours, seconds, to say, "Yeah, I'll do that." I've never done anything like that in my life. But since I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I knew where the power comes from. And I learned it real quickly. There were 350 people present at this dinner they used to do once a month. And I'm thinking, wow, I've never seen an audience like this. And I'm supposed to speak to them. And I'm not a public speaker, but God, you can do this. Man, I tell you, God worked wonders in that meeting. And what happened is the word got around the island, and different chapters started to invite me to come and share what God did in my life. And from there, there's a church in Duncan said, "Hey, we want you to come and preach in our church." Well, I never preached in my life. I'm not a preacher. "Oh, yeah, God will teach you." Only believe. You know, the thing is that once you allow the Holy Spirit to do stuff in your life, and you think, "Lord, I can't do this." And yeah, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And so here's what I found is, if I feel experience that God is bringing to me instead of me, then he provides what I need to do it. Okay? So, and a prime example is doing this. You know, I am not, I've pastored in several churches, but pastoring is not my forte. My forte is being an evangelist. I like to be out in the community. That's why I'm the chaplain of the Blue Knights, you know. And 3 weeks ago, you know, we had all those motorcycles, hundreds and hundreds of motorcycles. And I'm the chosen one to do the blessing. Why, out of all those people, do I get to do that? Our pastor put out an email about 2 months ago and said, look, I'm going to be on holidays and such a day. We need somebody to preach on the night. And right away, I felt I was the chosen one. And I emailed him, I said, and that goes to Stephen also and to Einar. I said, I'm prepared to do this, but Stephen, if you want to do this, I'll just step back. Stephen emails me back, and he says, go for it, Ike. So I want you to know that I am chosen to be here today. And if that's the way it is, then the words and the stuff that I'm sharing with you is meaningful. It's not pie in the sky. It's something reality. Jesus said that he would give us the power. So we need to act on that power. So as Einar said, if you really want this church to grow, each one of us need to become evangelists. Amen. And if you say to yourself, well, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Okay. I remember one time we came to this church from our church downtown. They asked us to come here and help with evangelism. So we had a team of people come here, and Doug Coy was one of them. Was anybody here at that time? You guys remember Doug Coy, an evangelist? Oh, yeah, you do, yeah. And so the third day, I was invited to come, and I speak on evangelism, personal evangelism, because that's what I do. And so I took one night and just taught on personal evangelism, and the second night, I said, okay, we're going to do something practical, and everybody's wondering what we're going to do. So I said to them, we're going to set up a prayer meeting on Saturday night. And we're going to invite people in the community for us to pray for them, the needs that they have. So we divided the group in half. Half of them went on the street right away. And we just went to all the houses in this community and said, we're having a prayer meeting at the church here on Saturday night. Is there anything in your household we can pray for? You see, it doesn't put any pressure on anybody. You have no idea the responses that we had. And some people said, oh, I was at one house, and they said, oh, you know, somebody's sick right in my family. And we went in there, laid hands on the person, and prayed over them. You hear what I'm saying? So it's a whole different way of doing personal evangelism, but you have to find your own way. What is your ability, or which direction are we going here? Because I am always looking for an open door. And when that door is open, or it's a window, and it's coming this way. And if I don't grab it while it's there, it's gone. Okay? And then, if that happens to you, you ask God to forgive you. Because if you don't, you won't get another chance. And he shuts that door. Because the Holy Spirit is going to not keep talking to you and say, here's an opportunity. If you keep passing it by and keep passing it by, eventually he's just going to be quiet because he doesn't interfere with what you're doing. But if you will respond, give me that chord again now, yeah? Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only be. So I was walking through the hospital at Vic General, doing my pastoral care, I guess I was seeing somebody, and I see this couple sitting there. With a baby. I walked up to the couple and I said, what's happening? Our baby has a hole in his heart. He's not expected to live. I said, can I pray for him? Oh, yes. Says, can I anoint him? Oh, yes. I prayed for that little baby. 2 days later, the doctor came by, and he examined the baby. And the parents told me, he threw up his hands and said, there's nothing wrong with this baby. Last Tuesday, I was at a funeral, very large funeral. And this couple went to sit just a little bit ahead of me, and as they walked by me, they said, hi, Ike. I had no clue who these people were, but they said hi, so obviously they know me. After the service, we were in the foyer there, and this fellow walks up to me and starts chatting with me, and he says, oh, Ike, I'm so glad to run into you. And another guy walked up to me. He said, hi, Ike, how you doing? And he says, who's your friend here? And the guy says his name. And instantly, all the lights went on. It's the fellow and his wife whose baby that I prayed for. And he said, you have no idea. And a few minutes later, I bumped into his wife. She told me the same thing. That she said, you are a family name amongst my family. And so you see, only believe. All things are possible, right? It is no secret what God has done. What he do for me, he'll do for you. You see, and you sit there and you think, well, yeah, but you know, we'll leave it to Einar and Stephen, and you know, they're our elders and our pastor. No, 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 no. You are the force that God wants to use for this church. Yeah, you believe that? So if you were at a hockey game and I just scored a goal, what would you do? All righty. Let's get rid of it, eh? Yeah. And so that's what God wants. He wants you excited about what he's doing through the power of his Holy Spirit. It's 11:39. Here's my word. If God... I'm going to have to hang on for this because I can feel my emotion going already. If God has really touched you this morning with his spirit, no matter who you are, how young you are, or how old you are, stand to your feet. It is no secret.
It is no secret what God can do. Wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God.
So when you sang wide open, is. Let me see if I can demonstrate this. This is my granddaughter here, right? Well, that's how God feels about you. And yet, you know, when her and I hug, she'll call me up and say, Opa, can we hang out? How many 17-year-olds you get that do that? Can you imagine how God feels when you say, can we hang out? And when you hang out, I'm telling you, that's when he talks to you. And if you've never heard his voice, I want you to hear it today. God says, I love you. You are dear to me. I want to have a personal relationship with you. Open your heart and let my spirit in. I can't pray for all of you, but if you're standing there, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you open those hearts so they can receive and hear you saying, let me in. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will answer, I will come in. In John chapter 14, he says, we will sup. That means eat, dine. He wants to sit down. He says, let's do lunch. He wants to be your friend so we can be that close. So, if you need help in your relationship with your spouse, things aren't going too well. But Jesus said to you this morning, you have my Holy Spirit. Ask him to help you. Ask him to direct you. What about your children? Your children may be adults. They may be little. Ask me to help you reach your children. God has a way of showing you how you can do that to draw them. The same thing if the children are here and they want that relationship with the parents, ask the Holy Spirit. How about your next door neighbors? A lot of people don't know their neighbors anymore. But I'm putting it to your minds today. Think about your neighbors and how you can bless them. This has nothing to do with being judgmental, okay? We are not coming out with a judgment over our neighbors. We're coming there to love them. Okay? Employees. I have some employees. One of them I need help with. But you might need some too. Maybe you need some help with your employer. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and say, how can we mend this relationship? Or how can I be influential in my workplace? Only believe. All things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Does somebody here now have to tell the rest of us what happened to you this morning?
I'll say something.
Yeah?
Yeah. For some months, I've had a really difficult time. Difficult time at praying. You know, the deal in life is... should I use it?
Do people want to sit down?
Yeah. Anyway, as I was saying, for several months now, I felt a block in my heart and my spirit about praying. Usually, you know, in my whole life, I'm almost 72, I've never had any trouble praying. But in the last, I don't know, however month, it's just a block, like you don't feel like it. You try and nothing's happening, and anyway, it's not that good for a person's heart when he can't pray properly. So, in the service today, I felt it was like a dam broke, and it wasn't water that was behind the dam. It was like something sweet, like honey, And it just sort of flowed like that. And anyway, so that's happened. And I thank you, sir.
Praise God.
And everybody else here. God bless
praise
you all.
Lord,
anyway,
praise.
Something. Hey.
Anybody else?
I'm really excited.
Yeah.